السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajal farajah. Okay, inshallah, tonight I'll speak for maybe 20-25 minutes only. This was the 20 minutes I wanted to complete last night. And then before starting the new phase of Rajat that the Urafa have tomorrow, we can dedicate at least half an hour to Q&A after the speech, inshallah. And then after the Q&A, we do words of musibat, and then inshallah, we'll end. Okay, so yes, so we said Rajat may be broadly classified into the exoteric and the esoteric types, the external type and an internal type of Rajat. Rajat meaning a form of returning. And what that returning is, it can be either of many types. In the exoteric type of Rajat, there's the Rajat where people who have passed away will be revived, will come back in the physical world after the coming of the 12th Imam. And I think we've now done 4 lectures on that kind of Rajat, and we finished it off last night. That's one form of the external type of Rajat. The second form of the external type of Rajat is where there'll be a return of prophets and imams, but not the same prophets and imams of 1400 years ago. There'll be new prophets and new imams. And this is Ayatollah Hasanzadeh's final position on Rajat. We haven't touched upon that yet. We mean the prophets and imams. I mean the prophets and imams after the cycle of Adam, alayhi salam.
The old prophet, they come.
No. Yes. Yes, I think since this is the first day you're here, yeah, after a gap, you have to be a bit patient because you've missed quite a lot. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, I've explained it. Yes. Yes, I've explained it before, but since you weren't here, if you just be patient for a little bit and then with time. Yes, yes, thank you. And then another, yes, so these are two positions. The third type of external Rajat is a return of nature, you know, with the coming of the trees and the season of spring, you know, new trees, new plants, and so on and so forth. That's a natural Rajat. That's not what we want to deal with. That we won't be speaking about this kind of Rajat. Then there were 3 types of internal, esoteric returnings. One was a spiritual Rajat, in the sense of Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's one form. And that's not specific to Shi'ism either. Other schools of thought have it, and that won't be touched upon either. There's no need. All Muslims agree with this concept. Then there was a Mithali Rajat, which will start tomorrow, inshallah, which the Urafa usually have, including Imam Khomeini. And finally, there was the social Rajat. And that's what we're going to touch upon today, inshallah. We'll finish it. It's not too much. We'll finish this, what we mean by the social Rajat. And that means where the rulings of the Ahlul Bayt will govern the earth. We'll speak more More about that in a minute. So, yesterday we finished in relation to the physical Rajat, where many Imams, Prophets, well, this position which claims that many people will return, Imams and non-Imams, Prophets and non-Prophets, those who are very righteous, in addition to those who are purely evil, they will all return in the physical form after the coming of the 12th Imam. And we've said that although this is rationally possible, it's rationally possible, and we gave two prerequisites for it to be rationally possible. It's only rationally possible if the body is intact, and by body we mean the brain, and we sort of cleared the story of the Ibrahim and the four birds, and the death that took place was not a natural death. A natural death, we explained, the philosophical natural death. Because if it was a philosophical natural death, it would be philosophically impossible for them to return, because it would be a return from actuality to potentiality. Although it's rationally possible for Rajat, there's no problem, assuming these prerequisites are observed, there's no evidence for it, according to many of the scholars, including Muhammad Assad and others. The evidence is lacking. And in our Islamic doctrine, you know, just because something is rationally possible, it doesn't mean it will happen. We need evidence. But even Muhammad said, in relation to the Raj'at of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he accepted it. Because those solitary reports, we said, were backed by one verse of the Holy Quran, chapter 27, verse 82, which spoke about the creature from earth, Dabbatan min al-ard. Okay, so that's where we left off. Now, the social Raj'at. So far we've been touching upon the fact that the Imams and the Prophets will return in the physical form and they will rule. And we went into detail. We gave the different classes and classifications that how this can work, and we said how it can be justified. But now here, in the social or socio-political Rajat, if you want, where world supremacy is in the hands of the teachings and law of the Ahlul Bayt, here there's no returning of any physical Imam or Prophet. It's the governance of righteous or Salihin, true believers governing the world. And this return of true Ahlul Bayt teachings, this is what they mean by this will return and this will stay until the end of time. And this is what they mean by Raj'at. So that's why this was in the internal or esoteric types of Raj'at. Now just let's go through one or two traditions and we'll enter the debate slowly. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in one tradition has said, Ya Abu Hamza, O Abu Hamza, Inna minna ba'da al-qa'im ahada ashara mahdiya. See, now things become delicate now. Saying, verily, from us, the Ahlul Bayt, after the Qa'im, after the 12th Imam, there'll be 11 Mahdis. 11, like 11 leaders, but 11 Mahdis, guides. Now, who are they? In another tradition, Imam Baqir alayhi salam has said, Wallahi, by Allah I swear, layamlikanna minna ahlal bayt rajulun ba'da mawtihi 300 sana. From us Ahlul Bayt, there will certainly be a man who will rule after his death, in the context of the tradition, is referring to after the Qa'im, after the 12th Imam. But I didn't want to... The tradition is very long. A man will rule for 300 years. Qultu, the companion, asked, said to Imam Baqir, Mata yakunu dhalik? Qala ba'd al-Qa'im. It will be after the 12th Imam. A man will come from us, Ahlul Bayt, who will rule for 300 years. In another tradition, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He said, Ya Ali, O Ali, innahu sayakunu ba'di ithna ashara imama. Verily, they will reside. After me, there will be 12 imams. وَمِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِثْنَا أَشَرَ مَهْدِيًا. And after those 12 imams, there will be 12 Mahdis. This is important stuff here. See, just, if you just bear with it, it won't take too long, only about 20 minutes. Important facts are going to arise tonight, inshallah. Who are these 12 Mahdis? What on earth is all this about? And how is it related to Rajat? How is it compatible with Rajat of the physical form that we've been discussing so far? In another tradition, which is on page 534 of that book by Muhammad As-Sadr, this is also from the Holy Messenger, who says, وَلَيُسَلِّمُهَا الْحَسَنْ إِلَى ابْنِهِ مِمْ هَا مِمْ دَالْ الْمُسْتَحْفَدْ مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. He's saying Hassan, referring to Imam Hassan al-Askari, the 11th Imam, will submit, Yusallim, will submit to his son, the son of Imam Hassan al-Askari, is the 12th Imam. And the name is Mim Ha Mim Dal, you know, like M-O-H-A-M-M-A-D, something like that. Now, there's a reason why we call the son of the 11th Imam. We don't give the name. In relation to our Prophet, we say Muhammad. In relation to the 12th Imam, there no. The story is different. He's an occultation. When he comes out, then you say it. It's like Alif Lam Mim in the Quran. What succeeds Alif Lam Mim is a commentary of that Alif Lam Mim opening up. As if Alif Lam Mim is an occultation. What does it mean? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, until the very end. It's indicating a sort of jabarut, a majesty of this 12th Imam, that no, you have to mention the letters, you can't mention him by name. Anyway, Imam Hassan al-Askari will submit to his son, the 12th Imam, who is the preserved one, from the progeny of the Holy Prophet. فَذَلِكَ إِثْنَا أَشَرَ إِمَامًا. And this was the 12 Imams, the Holy Prophet is saying. فَذَلِكَ إِثْنَا أَشَرَ إِمَامًا. These were the 12 Imams. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِثْنَا أَشَرَ مَهْدِيًا. And after the 12th Imam, there will be 12 Mahdis. فَإِذَا حَذَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاتِ فَلْيُسَلِّمُهَا إِلَى بْنِهِ أَوَّلُ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. When the 12th Imam is on the brink of dying, the 12th Imam, he will submit Imamat to his son, the first of the Mahdis, of the 12 Mahdis. Lahu thalathatu asami, this first of the 12 Mahdis that our 12th Imam will submit governance to, not submit Imamat to, because Imamat finishes with the 12th Imam, but he will submit governance or legitimize governance to his son, the first of the 12 Mahdis who will come after the 12 Imams. This first of the 12 Mahdis, there are three names he has. The Holy Prophet is saying, Ismi, Ismon Kasmi, a name like my name, which is Ahmad, it'll come in a minute. Wasmo Abi, and then he says, and my father's name. Wahua Ahmad wa Abdullah, his name being Ahmad. You know, in the Quran, in relation to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he says that there will come a prophet, his name will be Ahmad. Here, the 12th Imam will assign the governor after him, the first of the 12 Mahdis which will succeed the 12th Imam, and he gives the name. The name, he has three names. One is Ahmad, the name of the prophet. One is Abdullah, the name of the father of the prophet. والاسم الثالث, and the third name, Al-Mahdi. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ, and it continues a bit. But he's the first of the 12 Mahdis. Okay, and that's another tradition. And we have many traditions like that. And then in our du'as, we have supplications where these righteous leaders, these Mahdis, have been mentioned. Especially after praying for the Mahdi, we're asked to pray for them. Allahumma salli ala walati ahdihi wal a'immati min ba'dihi. May Allah's peace be on the successors, the Imams, and the Imams, meaning the leaders after the successors. There are many du'as like this, referring to the 12 Mahdis. Although the du'as don't say 12, but the concept is there. Or wasalli ala waliyik, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon his wali, referring to the 12th Imam. If I can just drink a bit of water, my mouth has dried up. وَسَلِّ عَلَى وَلِيِّكَ وَوَلَاتِ أَهْدِكَ وَالْأَئِمَّةِ مِنْ وَلِّهِ. Here it says, after peace and blessings be upon the 12th Imam, and the Imams from his progeny of the 12th Imam. These are important. Who are we sending salutations to in these doors? It's important to know what you're saying. Now, I mean, and there are many other traditions and doors, but you know, for reasons of time, I don't want to go through all of them. Now, here, the theologians, especially those who accept the physical returning of the Imams and the Prophets. In the physical form they will return here. They saw these traditions and they observed an incompatibility between these traditions and the traditions that we spoke of in relation to Raj'at, where the Imams will return. And they say that it's contradiction to our belief. These 12 Mahdis go against what popular belief dictates, that the Imams who existed 1400 years ago, they will return. See, these are two different things. First, you say there are 12 Mahdis following the 12th Imam, but we believe that it's the physical Rajat, where the actual 12 Imams of 1400 years ago, they will return. So they observe this incompatibility here. Now, how do they reconcile this? They interpreted those traditions and du'as which speak about the 12 Mahdis, they've reinterpreted it. And this is what they say. They say that the 12 Mahdis that those traditions speak about are the Holy Prophet and the first 11 Imams. They've said this. Majlisi, rahmatullah alayh, he believes in this. He didn't like what he saw with the traditions. He said, no, this goes against Raj'at. And he believed in the physical form of Raj'at. He was a staunch believer. No, he said, okay, now how can we solve this issue? We have 12 Mahdis following the 12th Imam. But we believe that the 12 Imams will return. He says those 12 Mahdis are in relation to the Holy Prophet doing Raj'at and the first 11 Imams. That's how he tried to sort out the issue. And these people will return. They are the 12 Mahdis, and they will govern after the 12th Imam. Another way he also suggested that we can interpret the 12 Mahdis is that he says the 12 Mahdis, okay, they're not the 12 Imams, or the Prophet and the first 11 Imams. Rather, the 12 Mahdis are lovers and disciples of the Imams, of Imamat. Okay, 12 people who are lovers of Imamat, who are disciples of the Imams, they will come and govern in addition to the 12 Imams of 1400 years ago. He's still not ready to take his hand off the concept of the physical Raj'at. He said, okay, these 12 Mahdis are 12 people, not the 12 Imams, they will come. There will be 12 Mahdis. But still, those 12 Imams too, the Holy Prophet and the first 11 Imams rather, they will still return. And they will be the main leaders, whereas these 12 Mahdis have a secondary role. You know, as an executive role, if you like, in governance. Now, why do the theologians say this? The reason they say this, because لَوْ لَلْحُجَّةِ لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضِ, we have a principle, and this principle is indisputable. It's something which is firmly accepted and established, that if there's no hujjat, no proof on earth, the earth will perish. There has to be a hujjat. If you believe there'll be 12 Mahdis after the 12th Imam, where's the Hujjat? And out of, you know, trying to solve this issue of a Hujjatless earth, they bring Raj'at into the picture. However way you want to explain the 12 Mahdis, either you explain the 12 Mahdis as the Holy Prophet and the 11 Imams, or if you want to say the 12 Mahdis are 12 different individuals, you still have to have the 12 Imams though, the Holy Prophet and the first 11 Imams. لَوْلَا الْحُجَّةِ لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضِ. So this has to be sorted out, and we'll speak about this, what Hujjat actually means, and then this will be solved, inshallah. Then there are other theologians who say, look, they don't really accept this idea of the 12 Mahdis. Why? Because they say we have traditions that there'll be no system of governance after the 12th Imam. And then after the martyrdom of the 12th Imam, till Qiyamah, we have traditions that say it will be a period of 40 days. This is another group of theologians who are sticking to this set of traditions. This also has to be explained. And in those 40 days, it'll be 40 days of bedlam and chaos. Anyway, so this, we have to explain all this. Okay, now Muhammad Sadr Assad, has analyzed these very carefully in that book which I've introduced for a few days now. And I've used from that book considerably, especially in relation to yesterday's discussion, where he rejects the physical Raj'at on the whole. Here, he comes and replies to these claims that the theologians are making. He's saying, first of all, when people like Allama Majlisi comes and interprets the 12 Mahdis differently in another manner, which is against the prima facie meaning of the actual dua or tradition, because the zuhur, the prima facie meaning of the tradition, says 12 Mahdis. When you come and interpret it in another way, ta'wil, that, you know, should only be done out of necessity, when there's seriously a problem here, when it's rationally impossible, for example, then you go to ta'wil and interpret it differently. But here there's no need for you to interpret it differently, because the traditions about the 12 Mahdis are explicit. It says min waldihi, from the progeny of the 12th Imam. They say, verily from us a man will come and rule for 300 years. These are explicit. There's no room for you to interpret it differently. This ta'wil is okay when it's necessary, but when it's not necessary, there's no need for it. You accept the prima facie meaning of the tradition. Here in that du'a it says a'immatin min waldihi, the imams, you know, the leaders from the progeny of the 12th imam. If you say they are the prophet and the first 11 imams, well, they were the fathers of the 12th imam. They weren't the progeny of the 12th imam. When you have something explicit, why do you interpret it differently? And another problem was, as Muhammad Sa'd suggested, that, and also evidence of the returning of the 12th Imam hasn't been substantiated. They were inauthentic. Only in relation to Amirul Mu'mineen and maybe the Holy Prophet and Imam Hussein, maybe. Okay, Raj'at is rationally possible if all the prerequisites are there. No one denies that. But, you know, we need evidence. And with the evidence, yes, Amirul Mu'mineen, but the idea that all the 12 Imams will return, we don't have that evidence. The text isn't there. We can't just make it up. The second problem is that he said that, okay, the 12 Mahdis are 12 individual different people and they will govern, but in addition to that, the 12 Imams will still return. The problem of that is that the traditions are directly attributing governance to those 12 Mahdis. Remember, la yamlikanna minna ahlal bayt rajulun. From us ahlul bayt, a man will most certainly rule for 300 years. Giving them this secondary role and saying that the 12 Imams will return and these 12 Mahdis are just working, you know, they have this executive role that goes against the prima facie meaning of these traditions, which explicitly are giving these 12 Mahdis a pivotal significance, not just as people are just obeying the 12 Imams or obeying a higher authority. These 12 Mahdis are the ruling authority. And then there was one tradition where the 12th Imam will pass that governance to his son, the first of the 12 Mahdis. He's passing it on to him. So this was problematic. Now, As I said, with Allama Majlisi and many other of the theologians, the reason they're very keen to bring this concept of Raj'at in relation to the 12 Mahdis and say it's the Holy Prophet and the 11 Imams is because of the principle of, if there's not a Hujjat, were there no Hujjat, were there no proof, the earth will perish. And we have traditions that even if there are two people on earth, one of them has to be a Hujja. Because if there's no Hujja, then those two people, neither being Hujja, then they can go in the hereafter and say, look, we had no proof to explain the truth to us. They can use this as a reason in the hereafter. Before Allah, there was no Hujja. The first person in creation, they too have to be Hujjat. The first person who is created, in this case, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, has to be Hujjat. To avoid an imamless earth, they bring Rajat into the picture. So after the 12th Imam, if you remember when we gave the different classifications, they said the first Imam who will return in the physical form was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They said that the earth is never without an Imam. And that's why they're so keen to keep refer to those 12 Mahdis as the Imams of 1400 years ago. Now the answer in reply to this, and actually one of you had asked this question, and now is the time I want to explain it, is that yes, all Imams are Hujjat, all Imams are proof, but not all Hujjas or proofs are Imams. To be a Hujjat, it doesn't mean you have to be an Imam. You can be other than the Imam and still be Hujjat. And I'll prove this in a minute. I want to go through two types of traditions that we have. We have traditions that during the occultation of the Imam, the 12th Imam, at every moment, there are four people who are closely connected to the Imam. And in the hierarchy of things, there are, you know, three or four circles of people who are connected with the Imam, but there's a hierarchy. The four people who are closest to the Imam today and at every time during occultation are called the Otad. They are the highest in hierarchy in proximity to the 12th Imam. The next circle of command, according to many traditions, are 40 in number. They are the Abdal. Some traditions say there are 70. It doesn't matter the number, you know. The essence of the hierarchy is important. The third are called the Nujabo, 70 in number. And the fourth, the Salihin, 360 in number. When one person from one of the circles passes away, someone will replace them from the outside circle. So if someone from the Abdal, from the 40, passes away, then one person from amongst the Nujaba will enter. And so on and so forth. Now these people, what is the status of their Iman? Someone who's as close as those four Otad, for example, are they ma'soom? Can they be ma'soom? Are their ranks higher than the ranks of preceding prophets? See, these are just questions we have to raise here. The answer to all of these is yes, it's possible. They can be ma'soom. and they can be superior iman-wise than even preceding prophets. Now, you may say, good grief, what are you talking about? Two pieces of evidence to support this. One of them, I found the tradition, I'll read it to you. The other, I just have to mention. The one I wanted to mention was in Tafsir al-Burhan, which is a tafsir of the Holy Quran based solely on traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. There, in chapter 2, verse 31 or 32, there's a set of traditions. And in one of the traditions, it says, members of the Muhammadan Ummah have the potential to be higher than all preceding prophets. And they are the Muhammadiyin. And it's not a big thing to say. There's no need to be, you know, agitated or worried or perplexed. It's a natural thing. We members of the Muhammadan Ummah, our book is the Qur'an. Our potential is the potential that the Qur'an gives us. Followers of Prophet Isa, their potential is the potential that the Injil gives them. They can't go higher than that. That's why we have this evolution of religions following one after the other. Musa alayhi salam, his members can only acquire the potential that the book of Musa can give. And the reason why the Qur'an is the last book, because the potential that the Qur'an can give is infinite, whereas with the others it wasn't infinite. That's why it makes no sense to have a religion after Islam. Now there's one tradition here I want to read, also supporting this. Just very briefly, it's in relation to Salman, who was one of the companions of the Holy Prophet. And here it's very explicit that Salman, who was a good companion of the Holy Prophet, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, being with them, he's higher than all the preceding prophets. He says this, ذُكِرَتْ التَّقِيَّةُ يَوْمًا إِنْدَ عَلِي بْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The question of taqiyyah came up in the presence of the fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, one day. وَقَالَ, the Imam said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أُلِمَ أَبُو ذَرْ مَا فِي قَلْبِ سَلْمَانِ لَقَتَلَهُ. By Allah, if Abu Dhar knew what was in the heart of Salman, he would have killed him. Abu Dhar would have killed Salman. That's one of the meanings here. Although another meaning is that knowledge would have killed Abu Dhar. لَقَتَلَهُ. If Abu Dhar knew what was in the heart of Salman, here you can play around with the pronouns a bit, and it's legitimate. The meaning can be extracted like this. If Abu Dhar knew what was in the heart of Salman, that knowledge of Abu Dhar would have killed him. It would have killed him. He couldn't have tolerated the station of Salman. Salman was of a very high station. Either way, you know, there are degrees to understanding. There are degrees to faith. Don't confine faith to what you understand it as. Don't confine religion to what you've been taught. You think that's it. Don't limit yourself so much. We are nothing and will remain nothing to the very end. Everything we know of religion will be the most minimum. Religion is deep, it has layers. Don't suddenly get disappointed or excited when someone's saying something that you've never heard of. Just wait. Go and do a bit of reading. Be patient. Don't confine religion to one or two understandings. Your religion is an infinite religion. So many esoteric dimensions. We'll never be Abu Dhar. People in this room, we'll never be Abu Dhar. We'll never be, you know, the students or the students of the students of Abu Dhar in Iman. Abu Dhar was a great figure. He couldn't tolerate the heart of Salman. Salman went to other stations. And then the tradition has some speaks about the Holy Prophet building the ties of brotherhood between these two. It was a custom in those days that they had. But this is the point I want to mention. Inna ilma al-ulama. Verily, the knowledge of the ulama. Ulama doesn't mean just scholars. It means those who are alim. They've acquired gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, the ilm of such people, sa'bun mustas'ab. It's difficult and complex. La yahtamiluhu illa. No one can tolerate that knowledge or bear that knowledge except Nabiyun Mursal, except the messengers of Allah. Not even the prophets can. See, not all prophets are messengers, but all messengers are prophets. Messengers are around 124,000. So not that the exact number is, you know, definitive. Messengers are 313. Only they can understand the ilm, the knowledge of the ulama. Or malakun muqarrab, the archangels, not any angel. Or abdun mu'min, a believing servant, imtahana Allahu qalbah lil iman, the servant of a believer to whom Allah has tested his faith, tested his heart with faith. Waqala, then Imam Sajjad said, innama sara Salman min al ulama. Salman became one of the ulama who had that knowledge which no prophet could even have. Messengers, yes. Archangels, yes. But he became one of those. لأنه, why did he become one of those? لأنه منا أهل البيت. Because he was one of us, أهل البيت. He had reached that station. Reaching this station is open to everyone from the Muhammadan Ummah. We have that capacity. فَلَذَلِكَ نِسْبَتُهُ إِلَى الْعُلَمَىٰ. And that's why they've attributed him to the ulama. Okay. So we see Salman higher than all previous prophets. It's possible. If we have a Salman-like figure today, of course they will be hujjah. See, this is the point. Of course they'll be hujjah. You don't have to be an assigned imam to be hujjah. You can be Salman and you can be hujjah. Now, the question is, the four awtad to the 12th Imam, the Budala or Abdal, the Nujaba, aren't they Hujjat? Of course they are. And one of the awtad may be the son of the 12th Imam, and he will pass it on to him. But the son of the 12th Imam won't be an Imam, but he'll be a Mahdi. He'll be one of the guides. There's no problem there. There's no need to bring the concept of Rajat and say that the 12 imams will return in physical form. Don't worry about the principle of lawla al-hujjah la sakhat al-ard. We can still have hujjat without the presence of the imams. Lawla al-hujjah, it's the hujjiyat, the proofness of the tradition, which is important. Not the being an imam. And that's not confined to being an imam either. And that was another issue I wanted to mention. In relation to timers. Dear me. I thought it would only take 20 minutes, but maybe I got a bit carried away. Let's go through this quickly. Then there was a tradition that some theologians who don't even accept the concept of the 12 Mahdis now, they say because we have other traditions that says after the Mahdi, no one will rule, and then after the martyrdom of the 12th Imam, until Qiyamah is a period of 40 days, which will be total bedlam. That was their claim. Here, Since we have traditions that after the Mahdi there'll be 12 Mahdis. There are traditions, a lot of them. And yes, there are traditions that there will be no ruling after the Mahdi. There will be no ruler after the Mahdi, since we have those and they are reliable. There's no need to reject one of them. You can assemble the two together. And how they've done it, how Muhammad Sadr has done it, he said, look, there will be 12 Mahdis. When the tradition says that there'll be no ruler after the 12th Imam, it means either of two things. First of all, the Mahdi system of governance, the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, the Mahdi system of governance, that dynasty will remain. And it'll never return to the rule of Kuf ever again until Qiyamah. Not that there'll be no one there, because the traditions, as we've mentioned, speaks of the 12 Mahdis. One of them will come for 300 years. And in relation to the fact that after the Mahdi dies, there'll be a period of 40 days and then Qiyamah will result. Here, they say maybe after the last Hujjah dies, then after 40 days, Qiyamah may result. That's one possibility. We have to analyze this a bit more. But to say that after 40 days, 40 days after the 12th Imam, Qiyamah will result after the motto of the 12th Imam, that's problematic, because all those traditions that speak of the 12 Mahdis, it will take much more than 40 days. So one has to look at this carefully. And also all those traditions on Raj'at too, they all implicate that after the 12th Imam, all those Imams returning, the logic of those traditions also indicate, even if you don't accept Raj'at, but the logic of it indicates that after the 12th Imam, all those Imams returning in the physical form, these 40 days can't be true. So they say, no one will rule after the Mahdi, a ruling which goes against the system, the Nizam, the governance of the Mahdi. All the 12 Mahdis will follow suit of the line, in the line of the Mahdi, the 12th Imam. And also, that Dabbatan min al-Ard, which we spoke about, we have it substantiated before, that will come after the 12th Imam. And that can't be within a 40-day period, because that Dabbatan min al-Ard has an agenda at play. That will take much more. As we've said, that's referring to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay, so today we covered the social or socio-political Raj'at. This coming of the 12 Mahdis with the ruling of Ahlul Bayt, the Nizam, the system of Mahdi, continuing, this is Raj'at in another way, Raj'at of the rulings, the law of the Ahlul Bayt. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala tahirin. Yes, so sorry for it took some time, but from tonight, including tonight, we can, from now to the very end, we can have Q&As. But I'm sure you understand why I had to do that, because if we had Q&As from day one or two, you know, you've been just confused more and more when I wanted to explain things to you. But now you can feel free. With the permission of, I don't know if it's okay if we have some questions. I have words of Musiba to read.
Can we have a Q&A afterwards, inshallah? Because according to the schedule, they requested that we should have the Musiba.
Right, okay. So I'll do the Musiba first, yes. It's very difficult to have a Q&A after Musiba. Yeah. Okay, tonight it's. We'll read a few words of Musibat in relation to Qasim ibn Hassan, the son of Imam Hassan by the name of Qasim.